Amen. He is risen. A fantastic day to celebrate this morning. One of our dogs woke me up at 3 a.m. this morning, and it was still dark. And I was thinking to myself, what would it have been like for those that morning waiting for the sun to rise so that they could start working again? You know, because they had rested during the Sabbath. Now they're waiting for the sun to rise. And so I fell back asleep and I woke up at 3:45. The sun was still down. I woke up at 5:15. The sun was down. I was up reading my Bible. It was 5:45. Sun's still not up yet. And I'm thinking, is it going to be dark all day? But the sun came up. And our sun came up on this day and we celebrate. If you're here this morning with us for the first time, we're glad you're here and hope you feel a part of us as we worship. There's going to be some fun outside afterwards, but as I've been challenging the members of this church all week, I just want to pause in this moment and just rest in the excitement of what we're actually talking about today. We're talking about our slain Savior alive, and we can rejoice in that because it is unlike any other day in human history, and so we celebrate together this morning. If you've been with us this week, you know we have been looking first at Palm Sunday, which we called the joy before the sorrow, where Jesus comes in as a king into the glorious city. Friday night, we spent a somber time together just quietly reflecting on the joy beyond the sorrow. That Jesus, even in the midst of his sorrow and his suffering and his crucifixion and his burial, joy beyond that was what motivated him forward. It was a joy that would be wrapped up in the Father's honor as the Son would submit fully to his purposes. This morning, we look at the joy after the sorrow. And we live in this joy this morning because Jesus is alive. No longer dead, alive and still living even to this day. Thank you. Luke records it this way. On the Sabbath, they rested according to the commandment. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus, but while they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel, and as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise?" And they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles, but these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose, and he ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. Let's pray. Lord God, we come to you this morning celebrating this event that happened many years ago, an event that we're familiar with, but Father, we just want to pause and just rejoice in the joy of a resurrected Savior. I pray, Father, that this text and these thoughts would settle on our minds and our hearts. I pray that we would leave this place different than when we came in. I pray, God, that you would change our hearts, not just with our perspective towards your Son, but our hearts with regards to you and our work for you in the world. I pray, God, that you'd be honored and glorified, not just in this time, but in our hearts and our lives as we go from this place today. And we pray that in your Son's name. In the name of Jesus, our risen Lord. Amen. As we look at this text this morning, I want to set on a couple words that I think will kind of target our thinking at least. The first word is rested. If you were with us Friday night, this is where we ended our time, just in a pause, a physical rest that they were experiencing that day, but also a spiritual rest and grief. Luke chapter 23 ends with a statement, "On the Sabbath, they rested according to the commandment." Sabbath is a word that's coming in vogue again these days. A lot of people writing about the importance of disconnecting and unplugging from the world and just pausing and resting, giving your body, your mind, your spirit, your attention, just a moment just to relax. But Sabbath is something that the Lord God gave to his people all the way back in creation. The Lord worked, he finished his work for 6 days and he rested. Now we need to remember that God doesn't rest because he gets tired and needs to be recharged. The Lord God rests because he wants to rejoice in what he has made. And so the Lord God chose to rest on the seventh day so that we would watch him and follow in kind. So even in the midst of this moment where these individuals who have been following Jesus faithfully for these 3.5 years, this band of women, even though they wanted to care for his body in an appropriate way, they forced themselves to disconnect and rest because the Sabbath was commanded upon the people. So the evening before, just before the sun went down, just before Sabbath started, they watched Joseph of Arimathea put the body in the tomb. I think Joseph and whoever helped him wrapped it hastily, I think, and put the body to rest and covered it at least so it was set, but it wasn't appropriately honored. So the women who were watching decided that they would go home, get the ointments ready, get the spices ready, and they would prepare themselves for sunrise so that they go to the tomb and do the work of preparing Christ's body. But they couldn't do the work, they just needed to rest. But there was other people resting as well. And I've been thinking about this week as I've been listening through and reading through Luke chapter 19 to 24, that it wasn't just the people on earth that rested, but God rested. Because the work that he had done in redemption was finished. It was the Lord Jesus himself on the cross that said, "Father, into your hands I give my spirit." That's how Luke records it. In the Gospel of John, we see Jesus' last words, "It is finished." And what was finished? It wasn't a work of creation. What was finished was the work of redemption. And so in this moment of pause, in this Sabbath between sorrow and joy, the Lord God rests and rejoices in the work that he has accomplished through his Son. A lamb sufficient for the sacrifice died on the cross for you and for me, and the world rested and paused. And we reflected Friday night that in that rest, it was not just not work, it was grief, it was loss, it was sorrow, it was hopelessness, it was finality, it was all of the worst part of loss that you could possibly imagine. Luke records for us that after the resurrection, some of the disciples were reminiscing and they said with broken hearts, "We had hoped that this one would redeem us. We had hoped that this one was going to be the answer to everything that we had been waiting for." But in those 24 hours, they mourned, they grieved, they waited, they were stuck. I was thinking yesterday as I'm listening again through this passage, I'm thinking, what would have gone through the moment after the rooster crowed Saturday morning for Peter? He remembers what happened Friday morning. But what about Saturday morning? What about Sunday morning? Peter's not at the tomb at this point, right? He's somewhere else. The women are at the tomb. They go back to find him, but he's hearing that rooster. He was grieving. "I can't fix what I already did" was settling into his heart. Maybe the disciples were thinking about all of the lasts they had with Jesus. The last conversation they had with him, the last question they had with him, the last supper they had with him. 7 years ago when my dad died, I still remember the last meals, the last times, the last conversations I had with him. They kind of stick in my mind now 7 years later. That was a day of rest. It was a day of grief. It was a day of loss. Luke begins chapter 24 with one of my favorite words. "But on the first day of the week." And if we're reading this, we should be gripped with anticipation because you and I know that Jesus isn't going to be there, but they don't know that. The second word we want to reflect on is raised. Raised. "But on the first day of the week, early in the morning, the women took what they had prepared and they headed towards the tomb." They weren't allowed, according to Levitical law, to actually work during the Sabbath, so they had to wait for the sun to rise. They had gathered their things, and they had put together their project list. In their to-do app, it had the check marks pretty clearly. Collect ointment and spices. make my way to the tomb, unroll the stone from the tomb, retrieve the body of the Lord, unwrap the body, clean it, anoint it with the spices and the oils, get it prepared, rewrap it, put it back in the tomb, cover it with a rock, and then proceed home. So, task list in hand, ointment in hand, no doubt tears coming down their faces. They make their way to the tomb. And Luke says, but on the first day of the week, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Now, a few of them might have said, this is a very convenient turn of events. We don't have to do the physical labor of actually heaving that thing out of the way of the door. Excuse me, somebody had already done that for us. But as they go into the tomb, that moment of, wow, this is a great find, they go into the tomb and they do not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Now, because the story is so familiar, we sometimes forget what the emotions might have been like in that moment. They had prepared everything to go and actually find a body, unwrap a body, clean a body, prepare it, and there's no body. And so when Luke says they were perplexed, you and I both know that that's an incredibly huge understatement. Because they were probably baffled. They were probably, this is the tomb, right? Joseph didn't come after and break the Sabbath and roll the stone and take the body. Where is the body? They're perplexed. They're wondering. They're looking at each other, trying to figure this thing out. And Luke says, while they were perplexed, two men in dazzling clothes appeared to them. Now, we know these to be angels. They were scared of them. Maybe they understood they were angelic. Maybe they understood they were divine. Doesn't specifically say other than they were frightened and they fell on their faces. And the angels say, to me, they ask a very annoying question. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Couldn't you have just started, angels, with, hey, Jesus told you he wasn't going to be here. He got up a couple minutes ago and he's gone. Couldn't they have stated it a little bit better rather than ask a question? Why do you seek the living among the dead? To them, it's a no-brainer. Jesus had said repeatedly that he would be alive. Why are they still there looking among the dead for someone that is living? They follow the question with a negative and a positive. He is not here, but he is alive. He is risen. Simply stated, don't look for the living here because this is where dead people are. He is not here. He is alive. He is risen. Go find him. And no doubt there was another awkward moment, a pause there where the ladies, do we leave now? Do we stay? Do we stand up? Are we still on the ground? We're trying to grapple with this, the seriousness of what they're actually saying. It didn't seem at this point that they had connected all the pieces together. And so the angels say, remember how he told you. Remember how he told you when he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise. The third word I want to look at is remembered. Remember how he told you. It's a command. Remember. And like we do with our kids sometimes when we ask them a question, they don't give us the answer and we have to say, think. No, think really, really hard. Exert some energy straining for the memory that you have of Jesus having told you. In fact, Jesus told them multiple times. And what did Jesus tell them? Jesus told them that the Son of Man must be delivered to the hands of sinful men, must be crucified, and must be raised on the third day. If I was there, I would be counting days. We think, okay, Friday was one, Saturday is two. Hey, the third day is today, right? Did any of them look at each other and say, hey, it's the third day right now? Jesus had to be delivered. He had to be crucified. He had to be raised on the third day. Why? Why must? He must because Jesus was a prophet, and prophets cannot be wrong, ever. Three times Jesus had told them very, very clearly, this is what's going to happen in the days ahead. You don't need to turn there, but back in Luke chapter 9, we see some of them. He says in verse 21, he strictly charged them to tell no one about this, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed on the third, and the third day be raised. He had said it very clearly to them. Now, did they forget it? Did they ignore it? Did they not take it seriously? We don't know. About a week and a half later, he says again, but while they were all marveling at everything he was doing, Jesus said to his disciples, let these words sink into your ears, which obviously they didn't let it sink in. The Son of Man is about to be delivered into the hands of men. But they did not understand this saying, and it was concealed from them until later. Sometime later, Jesus says again, taking the 12, he said to them, see, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be delivered over to the Gentiles, and he will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. And after flogging him, they will kill him, and on the third day he will rise. But they understood none of these things. Three times Jesus had said very specifically to them, these are the things that are going to be happening as we go to Jerusalem. The Son of Man had to be delivered, had to be crucified, had to rise again. Why? Because it had to fulfill everything that was written about the Son of Man. This identity of Jesus as the Son of Man is what drove the Sanhedrin crazy. When he declared that he was the Son of Man, they immediately moved to kill him. The Son of Man had to do these things. Let's pause for a minute, because this Son of Man must, and then the fact that Christ followed through on the must, these are the things that you and I need to rest on for a moment. Because this is why the resurrection is so critical for us. Yes, it is a moment in time where Jesus defeated death, but for us as Christians, we need to reflect here. We need to remember this. Jesus' death and resurrection confirms his identity as the Son of Man. It confirms for us the fact that Jesus is who he said he was, and he is worthy of our attention. It confirms his identity. Jesus' death and resurrection affirms his authority, that Jesus could declare something to happen, and it happened, that Jesus could conquer death, that Jesus could do everything that the Father had asked him to do. His identity is confirmed. His authority is affirmed. But Jesus' death and resurrection also demands our devotion. You can't just look at Jesus and say, wow, that was really impressive. I don't think I could do that. That's not the appropriate response. The appropriate response is to say, that is the most amazing thing I've heard. And if it is true, it has to change my life. It has to change the way I see things. It has to change the way that I act. It has to change the things that I'm devoted to, because now I have a new authority, and that authority is Jesus Christ. And I must devote myself, my life to him. We need to know Jesus. Next week, we're going to begin a series in the Gospel of John where we're going to devote an entire year to knowing Jesus through the eyes of the Apostle John. If you don't have a church home, we'd love to have you with us. Our normal worship service is at 10:30, and I invite you to begin with us next week as we dig into Jesus, his identity, his authority, and our devotion to him. We've looked at rested, we've looked at raised, we've looked at remembered. Let's look at responded. The women realized, looking back in Luke 24, maybe there was a moment of clarity. Maybe the Spirit stepped on them or set on them for a moment in a special way to open their eyes and their minds to what had happened. But they remembered, and they returned, and they reported. And they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all of these things to the 11 and to all of the rest. So there were the 11, Judas had already died, so there were 11 remaining, plus the other disciples and followers of Christ. The ladies report this to them. They probably couldn't stop talking about it because they had just seen the most extraordinary thing. Now, remember, in this gospel account, Jesus is not present. He's gone, he's raised. Only angels are witnesses to this. So they're going based on the witness of angels back to the apostles and the disciples' followers and say, hey, listen, this is what we just experienced. And as I watch them respond so quickly, so passionately, so fervently, and even in Peter's response where he gets up and he runs to the tomb himself, I see three reactions, responses that we should have as believers. One, we should reflect. Whether you're a Christian or not, you should reflect on this day. This should not be a day where you are just kind of skipping past a Sunday checklist onto some family gathering or something else. It should be a day that you pause and you rest. In the same way that we rested last Sunday with the Palm Sunday, same way that we paused and just reflected on the grief of the Lord Jesus, so we should pause and reflect this morning just thinking about the incredible life we have because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Every one of us should be moved just to stop. I was just reading in my own quiet times this week, Psalm 107. At the very end of Psalm 107, the psalmist says, he who is wise should consider these things. Consider the loving kindness of the Lord. The Lord's loving kindness is poured out upon us through the cross. Victory is given to us through the resurrection. We should reflect on this. Whatever that reflection looks like for you, that's on your shoulders to figure out. But this day should be a day of reflection in the midst of the celebration. For some of us, the response is to repent. It's a word in the Bible that means to turn, to change, to instead of go this way, go that way. And if it's true that this identity of Jesus is Son of Man, he is divine, and if he is the true authority in our life, the only response for any one of us is to yield ourselves to him and to repent, to change the ways that we have been living and look to him. Now, it may be that some of you here this morning are in the place in your life, whether you're a Christian now, but you realize that you've been running amok in your life. And this is the day that you just need to pause and you need to say, God, I yield and I come back to you. I see it. It could be that some of you here have never heard these things, that there's something stirring in your spirit even right now that you've never experienced before, because for some reason right now, Jesus makes sense. His identity is clear, his authority is clear, your desire to be devoted to him is clear. I encourage you just to express that new belief to him. Maybe in prayer, it may just be in a quiet thought even now. Express that awareness to him. If there's things in your life that you feel like they might not be pleasing to the Lord, set them aside, follow him. It's true for all of us. And get to know Jesus. A great way to do that is start with us next week at 10:30. Reflect, repent. For some, we just need to report. We just need to talk about it. We just need to be caught up again in the joy of what Easter means. And we need to tell somebody. It says that they immediately got up, they went back, and they began telling what had happened. You will not believe what we just saw. Actually, you will not believe what we did not just see. We did not just see Jesus because his body's not there anymore. And then these guys in dazzling clothes, they were there, and they were saying, he's not here, he's risen. Remember, he told you three times. It's the most amazing day ever. Jesus is alive. We call it the resurrection. But who is it that you need to tell? It may be somebody that you brought this morning. Maybe it's somebody sitting next to you. Maybe it's your family member at home. Maybe it's your neighbor. Maybe it's, I just heard this morning that somebody's here because somebody, a cashier at Publix invited them. Tell somebody. Report it. Jesus Christ is alive. If you were with us Friday night, we ended our time of reflection with a reading from Max Lucado. I'm not going to read the entire thing again. If you want to experience, you could probably find it online. But Max Lucado entitled this chapter Alive. And if you remember Friday night, we left Jesus dead. So I want to pick up and finish the story from Friday night as we are wrapping up this morning. For you who missed it, what Max Lucado does is he reviews the suffering of Christ in one-word sentences. And I'm going to pick up here in the middle of it just so we can get a sense of where he was with us. Skull, Calvary, crosses, execution, death, noon, tears, observers, wails, wine, nude, bruised, swollen, crossbeam, sign, ground, nails, pound, 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 pierced, contorted, thirst, terrible, grace, writhing, raised, mounted, hung, suspended, spasms, heaving, sarcasm, sponge, tears, taunts, forgiveness, dice, gambling, darkness. Father, robbers, paradise, wailing, weeping, stunned, mother, compassion, darkness, my God, afraid, scapegoat, wilderness, vinegar, father, silence, sigh, death, relief. Earthquake, cemetery, tombs, bodies, mystery, curtain, spear, blood, water, spices, linen, tomb, fear, waiting, despair, stone, Mary, running, maybe, Peter, John, belief, enlightenment, truth, mankind, alive, alive, alive. Father, it is a great day we celebrate today. It's a day that you had planned from eternity past, and a day we want to celebrate not just today, but for eternity future. You selected the perfect lamb, a lamb whose perfect blood would heal perfectly those that believe. God, that lamb was slain, his body was laid to rest, but as promised, he was raised. And he is alive, seated at your right hand, and we honor and glorify the name of Jesus Christ today. We thank you for his life. We thank you for the fact that he entered the city boldly as king, that he willingly submitted himself to your purposes on the cross. He bore our shame, he bore our guilt, he bore our sins. We thank you and praise you for the redemption that was purchased on the cross. But God, this morning we stand triumphant and joy-filled because he did not stay dead. He is alive. And because he is alive, death is dead. Because he is alive, we can live too. Not just now, but for all eternity. God, we want to walk in that life. We want to celebrate that life. Father, I pray that you would change us. I pray as we go from this place, we would be people that are living in the life of Jesus Christ. Do that work in us that we might bring the utmost glory to you. And we pray that in the name of Jesus, the risen King. Amen.